This is an I Am Listening exclusive podcast.
Definitely keep going with all the treatments that you're given, because one will work. There's so many out there. It's just about finding what works for you. But it takes a long time for some people. You might find it straight away and that's great. But for me, it definitely took a longer time than I thought. But I'm very glad to have persevered with it. And I have found treatments for me and my skin that have made me feel so much more confident and have really cleared up a lot of my acne.
Welcome to Dr. Nikki Explains. I'm Dr. Nikki, a GP of 24 years experience, and this is my friend Sarah.
I'm a mum of four with no medical background.
We've decided to do a podcast to explain medical conditions, hopefully in an accessible way. We often have a guest speaker who has experience or expertise.
The podcast is not a substitute for seeing your GP. If you have medical symptoms that are troubling you, please see a doctor.
We've based the podcasts on NICE guidelines, which is the National Institute for Clinical Excellence.
The podcasts do contain graphic descriptions of medical conditions and may not be suitable for a younger audience or those of a sensitive nature.
Thank you for listening.
So today we're going to talk about acne. It affects a lot of people, particularly adolescents. And we have a special guest. So welcome to Katie.
Hello.
Thanks so much for coming this morning. And I'm Dr. Nikki.
And I'm Sarah.
So Katie, I wondered if you could start off with just telling us a bit about when you first got acne.
Yeah, so I first got acne when I was about 14 years old. It was during school and I wasn't really at the stage of wearing makeup, and I had it on my forehead. I also had it on my back, which I think is known as bacne, which isn't very attractive. it was on my forehead, which is right on my face, and it made me feel really self-conscious at school. Mm-hmm. And it's taken a while to kind of manage it.
Yeah, I was going to ask about how it made you feel, because I think as a GP, we tend to see people that it's affected, you know, a lot, and they come in and they're a bit depressed. And did it affect your self-esteem at all? Did you feel...
Yeah, definitely. And I think after having had acne for a while now, I think there's something to be said about other people with acne always say that you think you notice acne on other people's faces, but no one else does. It's only you.
Katie, what did you do to fix it?
Well, I went to Boots and had a look at a lot of the cleansers and started a skin routine. I started kind of thinking that my skin routine had to be kind of packed full of different types of serums. That didn't really work. So then I went to a GP, and the GP suggested that I start to put oil-free, because my skin was kind of a combination condition. So it was a bit greasy and it was oily and sometimes dry. So that meant that I had a combination type skin. And so I started to buy cleansers and serums based on that information from the doctor, which helped massively. Mm. I was also prescribed a gel called Epiduo at the time, and that really helped, but it did make my skin really dry, not with any acne problems, just like red spots everywhere.
Oh, so that exacerbated the problem.
Yeah, definitely.
So then what happened? Because your skin looks great now, so...
Well, I've went on lots of different types of medications as well as Epiduo. So I was on Dianet, I was on Limacycline, and it was really just finding the combination that worked for me. So in the end, I've kind of used Epiduo less alongside a moisturizing cream that works for my skin, which kind of balanced out the redness and the dryness. And a couple of medications have helped, definitely, but I'm now not on those. And now just have a kind of a core skin routine that works for my skin.
I think we're going to talk a bit about more about the medication, because people might not know what some of those words mean, but we are going to talk about that a bit later on.
Nikki, what is acne sort of medically?
That's a good question. And I think they think that acne has four major features. And the first one is excess grease. The more grease, the greater the acne. And because the grease glands, they're called the pilosebaceous glands, are found on the face, back and chest, that's the commonest place to get acne. So the second thing is something called comedone formation, which to us is spots, so blackheads, whiteheads. And so that is due to, in fact, the cells in the skin abnormally proliferating. So the cells in the skin are a little bit abnormal. And that kind of is controlled by testosterone and other androgens. And then the third thing that happens is that the there's a bacterial infection that comes along and it comes and lives in the sweat duct. And that is called, well, it's currently called Cutibacterium acnes. It's not very cute.
No.
And so there's a sort of bacterial infection, which is why antibiotics can work. And lastly, you get inflammation. So the whole thing causes your skin to get red and sore, and the patient makes a sort of inflammatory response to having an infection on the skin. So it's that combination of grease, spots, and then colonization of the sweat duct with bacteria, and then inflammation. So it's a sort of four-stage process. And there are various things that can make it worse or better, which we'll discuss.
Does the sun help?
And the sun.
Very tanned at the moment.
Yes, the sun definitely helps. I'm not sure why that is, but every time I'm in the sun, my skin almost clears up. So living in England isn't the best option, really.
It's the sun rather than the fresh air.
I don't know. Maybe a mixture of both. But every time it's sunny, it gets, you know, I get a bit of a tan on my face. My acne really clears up.
Is that something you've found?
Yes, that's one of the features that can affect acne for the best is UV light. It does seem to get acne better. Obviously, you have to be careful in sunlight, or because you can get skin cancer if you expose yourself to too much sun. So it is a fine balance. But yeah, it's certainly known to clear up acne.
Now, you know, for our benefit of our listeners, I mean, you look amazing.
Thank you.
you wouldn't know that you'd had all these difficulties in the past. So,
well, I've got a lot of scarring. So I use, and sometimes I do have kind of acne flare-ups again, and I find them more difficult to get rid of now. I don't know why, but it's now on my cheeks and rather than my forehead. But yeah, I get some flare-ups, but most of it is scarring, and I can cover that up quite easily with makeup, and I think those will fade, I hope. But that's what it is at the moment, and it's been a combination of finding the right cleanser and finding sometimes using antibiotics and gels with the GP. That's definitely helped.
That brings me on to a little bit onto what kind of factors modify acne or make it worse or make it better. And I think we've mentioned some of them. So we've mentioned UV light, and we've mentioned cosmetics in the form of oil-based cosmetics and pomade acne, but also hormonal factors. So some people get worse and worse acne around certain times in their period if they're a female. And stress, there's a bit anecdotal that stress might make it worse, but it's difficult to kind of actually scientifically look at that. But it seems to be, especially if you scratch your acne because you're stressed, then it gets worse. Diet, there's not a strong link between diet and acne, but some people have reported an improvement when they follow a low sugar diet. And that would be by increasing fresh fruit, vegetables, fish, olive oil, garlic and whole grains, and decreasing the consumption of things like sugar, biscuits, cakes, ice creams, bottle drinks and all the nice things.
That's, yeah, that's interesting. Interesting, there's not a very firm link, because I always thought that was a very strong thing.
Strong.
Is there a gender? Is it more common in...
No, it isn't actually. So men and women get acne pretty evenly. And it's interesting that you talk about men getting acne, because they can sometimes find it hard to... access some of the cosmetic solutions that Katie's talking about, or feel embarrassed to go and get moisturisers and things like that. But they shouldn't really. What have you got any experience of that, Katie? You've got a friend.
Yeah, I've got a friend that had acne, and he...
A male friend.
Mm-hmm. And he used to find it tricky to go into Boots and buy skincare, because I don't know why, but it's socialised as a female thing to do, really.
Well, particularly in Nikki and I's generation, you wouldn't have ever find men's male skin products. But increasingly, there are now...
And in fact, he was saying that as time's gone on, he's felt more comfortable about buying and using skin products regularly to try and prevent.
Yeah.
And his acne is quite bad, isn't he? He's got some scars.
His was, yeah, but like the face wash I use is...
the packaging is blue and white, and you wouldn't think that that was female or male, but it kind of does feel more female orientated. I don't know why, but it does, and I can see why they would feel like that, which is a shame, and they shouldn't. And there should be more kind of male orientated skincare out on the market, because it's a issue for both genders. So
obviously the problem is that if you've got acne, you feel very self-conscious, don't you? And some people use their hair to sort of hide their skin, so and you can understand why you might want to do that. So
yeah,
it is a difficult one, and I think it's probably a matter of personal choice. But if you do have a sort of heavy fringe, I would say try and keep it sort of as ungreasy as possible, so then it won't add to the problem.
So we're talking about different factors. Age, presumably we've talked about adolescence. Do most people, does it grow out of acne?
Or? Yeah, so most people do grow out of acne, but there are people in whom it can go on until you're, well, I don't want to say 30 and 40, because there's a handful of people in whom it can carry on. But there tends to be a family history of that. So if your mum had acne until she was 40, then there's a chance that your acne may persist longer. But the vast majority of people, it does burn itself out in sort of by the time you get to 30, certainly, hopefully by your late 20s.
So if a patient came into the surgery, because Katie, you talked about going to the GP.
Yeah.
What, as a GP, would you be looking at, and what are the things that you can prescribe?
Yes, that's a big question. So I think what we would do is we would take a history and find out how it was affecting the person. For me, that's one of the most important things, because for some people, it really dominates their life. They can get very depressed, very withdrawn. They can lose their self-esteem. So it's really important to get a handle on how much it's affecting that person. And then we're looking at whether there are any features that we need to refer. So the kind of things we're looking at are, where is it? Is it, what site is it? Is it on their face? Is it on their, we've talked about that. What are the lesions looking like? Are they little spots, or are they big pustules or papules, nodules, big lumps in the skin? That's a more serious form of acne than the little spots. Is there any scarring? That's really important, because we tend to refer that as soon as we can. There's something called, which is a nasty terminology, ice pick scar, but we all know those people in whom there are little puckered holes from loss of tissue from the acne, and that can be something very difficult for people to live with throughout their life once they've got that kind of scarring. You can get increased fibrous scarring, so sort of overgrowth type scarring as well, and you can get pigmentation. This is really a problem in skin of colour more than in people of white skin origin, but you can get dark changes to the skin at the site of the acne. So these are the kind of things we look for. And in fact, in skin of colour, we do tend to try and refer that earlier because of this phenomenon of the pigmentation. So the skin gets darker at the site of the acne.
So step one is go to the GP, and then if necessary, the GP will refer you to the dermatologist.
Yes.
And hopefully after that, the dermatologist will...
So the dermatologist doesn't see every patient with acne. The GP can manage the vast majority of cases. So what we would do is basically we'd make sure that you weren't on any medications that can exacerbate acne. There is a list of drugs you might be on, such as steroids, that could make acne worse. So we try and stop those. But the way we treat depends really on the type of acne it is. So the first step, if it's mainly comedonal acne, which is those spots that we talked about, is something called a topical retinoid. So it's a skin preparation, an ointment. And Epiduo that you mentioned, Katie, is one of those. In order to reduce excessive dryness and irritation, which you mentioned, they advise patients to leave it on for 30 to 60 minutes before washing off, and then gradually increase the duration of treatment as tolerated. That dryness and irritation should get better with time. So if you keep going with it, it should improve. And they say to try and persist with it for at least 3 months if you want to see a decent improvement. Then if you have mild to moderate papules or pustules, we would use a fixed dose combination, usually the Epiduo again, but there's other options. So you would use benzoyl peroxide together with a topical antibiotic or a topical retinoid. So without getting too technical, these are still skin treatments. So you would put on something like, there's all sorts of topical antibiotics. I don't know if you tried any of those, Katie, like trade name, things like Dalacin T.
Tried benzoyl peroxide.
That's not an antibiotic, but that helps. We tend to use limacycline or doxycycline. Both of those antibiotics are not allowed if you're pregnant or if you're a child under 12 years of age. And the reason for children not taking those particular antibiotics is that they leave a little line in growing teeth. So you get a line in your teeth, which obviously we don't want. So we avoid those in children. And then, you know, then there's basically different antibiotics you can try. And nowadays in women, there's an additional option of something called spironolactone. Spironolactone has a kind of anti-androgen, anti-testosterone type element to it, which is why it's used. We tend to check your kidney function as a blood test first, and then again, we start that. And again, that one is also contraindicated in pregnancy, and that is only used in women.
So what I'm hearing here is that there are actually many ways of treating acne, and sometimes the first... if you've been to the doctor and they've prescribed you something and you've persevered and it's not working, the advice is to go back and ask again.
It's a sort of ladder of treatment, really. And I think one of the things I was told by a skin specialist is not to give up, because each treatment really does take about 3 months to have an effect. So if you stop and start it, or you do it for a couple of weeks, it gives you a dry skin and you stop, it then doesn't work. So it's worth whichever one you're given to try it for a good 3 months before you give up. The only exception to that is with scarring. With scarring, we try whatever we can to begin with and refer you as urgently as we can. There are hospital prescribed medications for acne as well. So secondary care can prescribe a drug called isotretinoin. So we can refer for that for severe acne. So that's another option. So there, as you say, there's a lot of levels of acne treatments that are out there.
So would it be fair to say that all acne can be treated? It's just a case of finding the right solution.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. And trying to get in as early as you can. But
that's definitely what I've found. Yeah. I've done lots of different kinds of treatment, and I think finding the right one for your skin, it does make a massive difference. So even just the cleanser makes a massive difference.
I did want to quickly mention the pill as a treatment for acne, because you mentioned Dianet, Katie,
yeah,
which is a contraceptive pill. So you can use hormonal treatments either on their own or in combination with some of the treatments we've mentioned. And while Dianet has been used to treat acne, it is likely that some cases of acne will benefit from other combined oral contraceptive pills with a better safety profile. The problem with Dianet is that there's an increased risk of blood clots on Dianet. It's a slightly higher risk than other contraceptive pills. So obviously we would try, there might be some first line pills that you could try before you try Dianet. The reason Dianet was always chosen though was because it does have an anti-androgen effect. So that's
when you see an anti-androgen effect.
So anti-testosterone effect to it. So it can block the male hormones that seem to cause all the problems. I wanted to give a positive spin on the scarring, actually, because I've got some data on the scarring from acne. And for those people who have got some scarring from acne, it might give them some hope, really, I think. So first of all, we think that 50% of scars will improve naturally over 6 to 12 months. And that if you have got scarring from acne, you can be referred to plastic surgeons familiar with treating scars. And there are some ways of treating them. So if you have the kind of pickaxe scar we discussed, laser treatment and appropriate surgical techniques have really helped in the way that these scars are treated. You can excise very small scars and resurface the skin, and you can do intradermal injections. So you can inject collagen and things that stimulate collagen into the holes. There are, we can apply silicone gels to scars, and you can inject local steroids, and then you can use a pulsed laser. So all of these things mean that if you have got scarring from acne, there may be some options for you, which will hopefully make you feel a bit better. The only other thing I was thinking about was whether there are any resources for people to look at.
So who to, you know, where to get help. So you've got, obviously you've got the GP, we talked about that, and then the dermatologist. Where else can we go to, or where else could somebody go to get
help? There is the British Skin Foundation, which covers acne, and there is also a website called Acne Support, which is run by the British Association of Dermatologists. So I think that those are some sites that you can look at. The British Skin Foundation is probably one of the big ones there. GPs use something called the Primary Care Dermatology Society, PCDS, website, which has a very good section on acne. I mean, it is slightly medical terminology, but it's very detailed. And also, we would also use the NICE guidelines, which are the National Institute for Clinical Excellence. So all of those have very good guidelines on how to treat acne.
Did you find anything else helpful, Katie, aside from going to your GP?
I think from my perspective, I've grown up with social media, and although definitely you should take a lot of the advice on there with a pinch of salt, there is some videos that create a bit of a community. They do make you feel better. You see, there's people vlog your day, and some people would do that with, call it the skin diaries or something. And those kind of videos to watch always made me feel a bit better. And, you know, you realise there are lots of people that have similar issues and are finding treatments for it. And so a lot of those resources online, there is some advice online as well from dermatologists, or they say they're dermatologists, so you don't know on the internet, but
so be careful.
Yeah, be careful with that, but definitely found that helpful in some cases.
Something I really should have asked is, how common is acne?
Yes, so virtually every adolescent have a few spots, but about 15% of the adolescent population have enough problems to seek treatment. So more than 1 in 10 will go and see their GP with acne. So it's common.
So you're certainly not alone.
Katie, I wanted to ask you just finally, if so, people with acne will be listening to this podcast and they'll be feeling a bit miserable and a bit low, possibly. What do you think you could say to them, having kind of gone through it all and come out the other side nearly? what would you say to them?
I think it's definitely keep going with all the treatments that you're given, because one will work. There's so many out there. It's just about finding what works for you. But it takes a long time for some people. You might find it straight away and that's great. But for me, it definitely took a longer time than I thought. But I'm very glad to have persevered with it. And I have found treatments for me and my skin that have made me feel so much more confident and have really cleared up a lot of my acne. And going forward, I'll keep using those. And if that changes, as I think your skin combination can change as you get older, then I know to keep persevering and keep finding the things that work for me.
I think all that remains is to, you know, thank Katie very, very much for giving up her time.
Thanks for coming and talking to us.
Thanks for having me.
I think you will have really inspired people to get help and to persevere. So thanks ever so much.
Welcome.
We hope you've enjoyed this month's podcast. Don't forget that if this has made you aware of troubling medical symptoms, you may need to see your GP.
This has been an I Am Listening exclusive podcast. For more information, head over to our website, iam-listening.co.uk.